just crinkle it all up. Jose, amen. We got to make a couple of declarations. We must notify hell of our intent. I've noticed that lots of people are nervous because when I get around them. But you know, when I was younger, I studied this thing. My daddy was a doctor, and he had this library, and I got the library. So I was studying some of his famous books, and I run across this thing about these Hebrew soldiers. They carried a horn, a tambourine, a spear, and a sword. And I thought to myself, self, why would a cotton-picking soldier need a tambourine? So that interested me. I looked it up, and Mr. Matthew Henry said, it's so they could notify the enemy exactly about their position. Yes. And blow the horn of Zion and let them know of the imminent danger that's ahead of them. Yeah. So I'm of that frame of mind. So let's let the enemy know just who we are. Just give it a shout. Come on. Holy Ghost. Fire. Now, say this with me. Say, thank you, Jesus. For the great Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood covenant of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the fire of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, for the mercy of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the prosperity of the gospel. Show us, God, how to bless this land. Show us, God, how to heal this land. Healing, come to us. Deliverance, come to us. Blessings of God, come to us. In Jesus' name. I give it another shout. Come on. Holy Ghost. Thank y'all. Y'all can have a seat now. So I'm quite blessed. I must go on record to God and to the demons, to the earth and the sky and the sea and the water and the land and the whole deal, and tell you Jesus is King. And I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. Shakaba. Let me tell you, there's certain kinds of soldiers I like around me. Winners. My son, this is my son, Joseph. Yeah. We went out because a couple of my kids got into a squabble, and they split up a couple of our churches. And sometimes it takes dad to fix those kind of things. So I had to go out there, and it was quite complicated. But I don't know if y'all can take this or not, but I'll just go ahead and tell you. I know how many rights you think you have. I know that. I'm around you a lot, you type of people. I used to be really angry with you. And then I felt sorry for you. Now I'm neither. You're either going to suck it up and bring it, or you're going to hell, and I'm going to laugh at you. How about that? Now, so I must tell you this. We were there fixing this problem, and what I find when people are mad is they don't listen. It doesn't matter how much truth you tell them. Their anger is what's driving them instead of the Spirit of God. But since I am dad of the situation, I'm very tolerant to the angry guy and the not angry guy. They are sons. They don't need to be at odds with each other. They are stronger together. Because my problem is, if the angry people don't want to listen, we have to call the fire of God in. See, in your world, that means nothing. But in my world, it means death. Oops. Do you remember the day that this couple decided to steal and then boast about their giving? They went in front of Peter, and Peter just looked them right in the face and said, "You lied to the Holy Ghost." The husband fell dead right at first. So y'all are too timid to address these kind of issues. I'm not. You should never lie to the Holy Ghost. It brings destruction. And then the woman comes in. She lied. Boom, she fell dead. Seems a little harsh to y'all's sloppy agape world. But if you want to raise the dead and walk in the power of the gospel, you must walk in developed principles of truth and righteousness. And you shouldn't adjust them for anyone. But when someone wants to try to force you to adjust, that's called politics. You must be willing to die for the gospel. So finally it comes down to it. I'm just tired of listening to the foolishness. He said, she said, and they're all stupid. That's what they said. And I said to them, "Look me in the face, men. This is how it's going to go. I forgive you both. I don't know who's lying, but I do know how to fix it." And the minute I ask for the towel is when the shaking starts, is when fear comes. Because my responsibility is not to judge these people. My responsibility is to forgive them and wash their feet and let mercy have its way. Because mercy will back truth. So I kneeled down on the floor. I got my water. I got my towel. The sisters are crying because they know somebody's going to die. This is hard for your world. But it don't change who God is. And I got the one guy's feet washed. Because I thought I had it sorted out who the liar was. And I pushed the water over to his feet. He said, "You can't wash my feet." I said, "I thought you was lying to me." He said, "Brother David." I said, "No. I don't have friends. I have a God. There's no one that's my acquaintance will ask me to let them lie." How about that? And I said, "I must wash your feet." And I reached for his feet. Before I hit him, God hit him. But he didn't die. He fell out of the chair and was shaking on the ground. Because fear had gripped his heart. And the Spirit of the Lord washed him. I mean, washed the spirit of the devil off that guy. This is how you fix church splits. With a towel and some water. And as we left, I was bored because I don't like those situations. I never have, and I don't like them today. I don't like them. It isn't fun to me when my boys are spatting like that. We're going down the thing, and my son Jody's telling me how, you know, about lots of different problems. He's catching me up on the work, and I told him, excuse me, I have to interrupt your story just a minute. I'm fixing to die. Now, what son do you know that would enjoy that statement? And he immediately began to not rebuke me, but quote verses to me. I said, shh. I don't know why, but it must needs be. Now, let me tell you the kind of soldiers I'm around. He didn't want to accept that because of who I am and my prowess and how God's built me into a fighting soldier that always wins regardless of time. Time is not relevant. Jesus is. You understand? Yeah. Before we got back to his home, my insides had blown up. My heart quit. My liver quit. My lungs quit. I was in a bind. And I left consciousness for a while, and then I came back. And I reached and got the boy. I said, listen to me, this one. In the morning, I was supposed to be gone off on a horse for 14 days. I'm not going to make it. I need you to take my place because we cannot lie. No matter what happens to me, it's not relevant. I need you to complete the word that we put out to these people. Now, he loves me, this kid here. Y'all don't see a kid. He says, Dad. I said, no, son. There's only one thing of importance in our world, and that's walk with God and be obedient. And he's crying. He said, yes, sir. So I took a breath. At least one thing was okay. So I knew he'd go and do a good job. But he wasn't going to have access to a phone for like 4 or 5 days. So he's not going to know my results. He never found out for, it was almost a week. But I had already died twice and been raised from the dead twice by the time he found out. Are you hearing me? This is the gospel. And you must hear that. Because I'm fixing to tell you some amazing stories and a couple of really nice verses, and fire's fixing to get us. But it's because of the gospel that this stuff happens. It is good news for you. That Jesus is alive. There are soldiers of the gospel around the planet that their life is not relevant. What's relevant is obedience to the King. Do you hear me? Every day people ask me, how do you do this stuff like this? I just laugh at them. Because it's fun? But how? Because it's fun. Yeah, we get the joy thing. How do you do this? Because it's fun. This is how you do it. With joy.
Good evening. Hallelujah. I noticed about 2/3 didn't like the obedience part. You didn't clap. Hallelujah. It's true. Sometimes you have to make choices. And what I see the church nowadays wants to blame God. But if we'll go back and read the book, because a lot of people are questioning the book, but I've looked around, I've read a lot of books. There's really only one that God said, this is my book. And in the book that God said was his book, he said there's going to be hard times. Jesus actually said, everybody gets a piece of it. One time they're debating back and forth, and Jesus said, you know, when it rains on the just and the unjust. And so there's some things that happen to us all, and our response to what happens is what God's looking for. It's not whether or not something's coming. It's our response is crucial. And so we try to blame God, but God's like, look, I'm trying to help you guys. God's doing basically all he can to get you to heaven. He is. He made one huge step by sending Jesus here. And wow, he's just blazing a trail for us. And it's still functional today, is the cool thing. It still works. People are like, we don't even know this Jesus guy. And I'm like, ain't that so amazing? That when we call to him, things happen. Sin is forgiven. Sickness is healed. Evil spirits are driven away. That's what's so cool. That was one of the worst days of my life when Dad drove off. My brother-in-law and my sister, they drove off. And he had asked me to stay, to go the next day. We had to do a trail up, a hike up in the mountains. Sometimes you have to make choices that are inconclusive how it's going to turn out. You don't know. Faith says, yes, everything's going to be fine, but you also know that faith might ask you to push through the hardness. So we have to rise up. We've got to rise up. We've got to become the people whom God can say, wow, look, that's mine right there. Look at those people go. I love that in the scripture when Jesus would do something. All of a sudden, there'd be a boom from heaven. And the people would say, oh, it thundered. And other guys are like, no, I heard an angel. And other people, but it's recorded in there that God would say, this is my beloved son. He'd be in nowadays terms, if we can not use the King James as much right now. It was like God was saying, that's it. That's what I'm talking about right there. God was so happy that the airwaves couldn't contain his voice. It was like, whoa. And he's still looking down today. He's looking for us to do that. We have to learn to step into things. But we made it through that one. I was for days wondering, I wonder if he's alive. I wonder if he's dead. There wasn't a phone, and I didn't bring my truck, so I couldn't drive home. It's too far to walk. Sometimes you just got to go in the unknown. You just have to step out into the unknown and just say, okay, I don't know where this is going to go, but yay. And I finally got to a village that had one phone, that's some kind of relay phone that I still don't understand how it works, but I know they punch the number in and I can hear voices on the other end, so that's all you need to know, really. Because really, who knows how these phones work, too. Cool. That one guy Dad was talking about earlier, or last night, he probably knows how it works, but we don't. We punch imaginary numbers on a screen, and people are talking to us. 100 years ago, they'd have said you were a witch doctor. I'm not a witch doctor. It's a phone. But I got on the phone and I called the house and I talked to Mom. This was several days later. And I said, Mom, how's Dad? Because I wasn't sure if Dad was anymore. But you start off with a positive, how's Dad? And she's like, he's alive. Okay. That's it? She goes, that's about it right now. It's been hard the last few days, son. Okay. I'll call you tomorrow. That's about how long conversations between me and my mom last, because we're about the same on the expressing emotions thing. It's, if one or the other are that way, it's okay. When you got two people that way, it's short conversations. Hallelujah. And then we finished the trip out, and I was able to get back to my house, and then I drove to where my dad was, and he was still alive. And then they tell me the story that, oh, he died twice. I'm like, Mom, you didn't... She's like, all you need to know is he was alive, son. Yes, ma'am. But when you're walking with God, it's an adventure. If your life, if your Christian walk is what you would consider boring, you need to do something more. It's not designed to be boring. It's not designed to be dead. In the book of Hebrews, it says the Word of God is alive. There's something about it being alive that it's almost like you want to put your finger on something exactly, and then you look and it's like, oh, it's over. Whoop. The Holy Spirit is big. And sometimes He asks you to do things and you're like, no. No. That wasn't my plan. We were at a village spending the night. They have made us a beautiful place. We sleep on their roof. They got a roof over that. And you're sleeping on the concrete, which is an upgrade from the rocky dirt. But it's still rather hard. We were just getting settled in. It was a chilly night, so you're all up in the sleeping bag. And at that point, after a long day of ministry, you don't want to minister anymore. Maybe you don't want me to say that because we're supposed to be gung-ho 24/7, but there is a point where if I'm in the bed and I'm going to sleep, you need to wait till tomorrow. Okay? But there are a couple situations in life that go beyond someone's need for sleep. There are some things that happen that you need to wake up for. Because we're all laid out all over this roof and just people everywhere. We had a big team with us in this village and things were going great. And all of a sudden they're knocking at the little gate that they have there and they're like, hey, somebody wake up. And I'm like, what? It's 11 o'clock at night. We're done. And they're like, we need help. Why? I mean, these guys that we work with are very respectful and they also want to sleep. We've been going all day for a couple days, and so I knew something was up, but we gotta get the story moving. He's like, so and so's son's having trouble. When someone says having trouble, just be prepared for anything. It could be literally anything. And so they all of a sudden brought this child up the stairs to the roof we're sleeping on. And the kid's just like 3 years old, 2 years old, somewhere in there. Just. I said, yeah, we need to get up. So I got my dad up. He was in another room, and all the other missionaries, there's like 20 of us now. We're looking at this kid, and he's not moving. He is not in a good, peaceful sleep, kind of not moving. Like, he was failing to breathe. And so I asked him, I'm like, well, how long has he not breathed? And they're like, about 20 minutes. I said, so you're... is he dead? And they're like, yeah, I think so. He ain't breathing. I think I need to go back to bed. Because what do you do? Like I say, sometimes the Holy Spirit puts something into your life and you're like, no. But he's like, this is why you're here. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. This is why I got you here this day, because I needed this to happen. I need something to happen. We're about to do something together. And when he starts talking like that, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. So we all begin to pray. And I don't know, it might have been 20, 30 minutes at that point, you know, my need for sleep and my sleepiness, and it's cold. None of that matters anymore. You're standing there in your little short sleeve and your shorts, and because you were in the bed, and now you're standing out in the cold. All that fades away because we got to get this baby back. And in your mind, though it was sluggish and all that, all of a sudden you realize this is serious. We have to step into this and we got to take this serious, or we're going to be having a funeral tomorrow. Right now, we still got a chance. So let's do something. And so we all just stepped in and began to pray for a while, 20, 30 minutes. And just all of a sudden, no lights, no angels. I was looking. I'm always looking because that's, you know, I don't want to miss it. I have before. So when we're in these services, keep your eyes open. Sometimes, you know, we can get very religious and bow our head and close our eyes, and angels are dancing around and we missed them. But just all of a sudden, this little kid just took this huge breath, just and began to cry and to jump around, and he was freaking out. Hallelujah. God moved. But it took us deciding to give up a little bit. Us deciding to step in and say, okay, I don't know how this is going to turn out because it's dead. The kid's dead. There's no CPR. There's no the nearest real good hospital that might have been able to do something's like 3 hours away. 3 hours is even more dead. So we had to do something. If we were to send them off in a truck, all they're going to do at the hospital is declare this little kid dead. It costs a bunch of money to do that. And send them back to the village where they're going to bury it. So there's sometimes it's on you. There's sometimes that's what he's saying. Us being a soldier, it's on this soldier. And, it's cool to hear stories where pastor saw something. He went to Malawi and yeah, awesome things happened. But when all of a sudden somebody's like, hey, it's your turn to go to Malawi. No. That's when you should say, yeah, I think I can do that. I'm not sure what I'm going to do if I get there and something happens, but I want to be a part of whatever's going on. That's what it takes. That's all God's waiting for a lot of times, is us to say, okay. One side of your brain's going, this is crazy. The other side's going, this is faith. And there's kind of a war going on. You're trying to see who's going to win. But that night we won. The kid's still alive. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I was liking your story. Holy Ghost, I was there. That was awesome. I had me a Lightning McQueen blanket that night. And I didn't want to get up. He's right. Had my earplugs in and my Lightning McQueen blanket. I was in good shape. Holy Ghost. Are y'all ready? I've decided I'm going to get after you. Is that all right? Can you take it? We're going to raise the dead. Say it. Say it again. Say it again. What I want to do is I want to tell you a story about something happened here in your country. Is that okay? I was in a place about a half an hour or maybe 40 minutes north of Pretoria. And I enjoy going to these squatter camps and these refugee deals, y'all got. I know they're harsh on your land. I understand that. But I like going to those dangerous places. There's plenty of miracles waiting on me at those places. I really like it. Yeah. And I get there. Now, look, this is organized. His dad-in-law, stand up, show him who I'm talking about here. This fella. Yeah. Yeah. His dad-in-law, yeah, and I have become pretty good friends. And I like him a lot. And now, because we both just laugh, you know? And it's fun to me. And we get to this place, and he tells me now, because he's, Brother Jan is nervous of me because I'm unpredictable. Because faith and me get along well. And whenever you mix faith with normal life, people get nervous. And he says to me, look, I really need you to stay within the perimeters of this fence. He said, we got it worked out a deal, and they're not going to shoot you if you stay inside here. But if you go outside that fence, they're going to shoot you. I said, that's yet to be seen. I recognize their threat, but I am the one that's got the biggest threat because I got the Holy Ghost. And I know to you, that seems arrogant because I'm an Americano come flying up in here. But you, what you don't know is I do this for a living and you don't, and you live here. Okay. All right. And that's no cut on you whatsoever. So. Okay. I told you I'm coming for you. And I have to admit it, I'm always successful, so it'll be all right. The fire of God's coming. I'm telling you, you people that don't like fire should just excuse yourself and leave. The ones of you that do like fire, move on up. You know, whenever they empty their seat, just get on up and come up here. Because fire's coming. I said fire's coming. Some of you that have never been touched are going to get slammed tonight. Some of you that's been touched a lot is going to get slammed tonight. That's me. And so I get to do, do you understand I get to do this every day? Do you understand how awesome that is? I just get to get this presence thing on me every day. This is a wonderful experience. I love this. Now, we went up there, you know, and I told my team, I had some of my family and others with me. I said, look here, we're going to obey the man. I said, whether I agree or disagree is not relevant. Man asked me not to get anybody shot. So I'll try my best to do that, not get anybody shot. So we're there, and I'm leaned up against the tree. There was one tree on our little bitty, and it didn't have any leaves. I'm leaned up on that thing waiting because they brought this real important fellow from Europe. Some kind of fancy chef fellow. And he going to cook all his food for these people. So I'm waiting. You know, and I went over and asked if I could help. He said, you can't help. This is not your job. I said, fine. Even though I'm a good cook, I told him a lot. I'm a good cook. I can do this. I cook. I don't need you. Ta ta ta. Fine. So, it's true. So I went over there to my tree. In a minute, I saw that funny look. You know them stupid hats they wear? That white, fluffy thing? I saw it coming. It was, you know, I saw it. It came over there, stupid hat. He comes over there. He says, "Brother David," I said, "Yes, sir. I need you. I told you I could cook." He said, "I don't need you to cook." "Well, what do you need? Come." So I get over there, and there's just not enough chicken. There's not enough food. We got way more people than we got food. "So you need me finally." See, I have a job. See, faith always has a job. Yeah. So I love this part. And I said, "Okay, what do you need exactly?" He said, "Don't worry about any numbers. Don't worry about that. I made the mistake already. I didn't calculate it right." He said, "I need you to talk these pots." And you see, I understand that. I get the whole thing of talking to pots. Because we do this a lot where I live. Because you'll plan for 1,000 people and 5,000 will come. So you need to be able to talk to them dadgummit pots. And not only do you need to be able to speak pot language, but they need to understand you when you talk. So I walk over to that first big pot, had all the chicken in it. I said, "Listen up, pot." And I reached and got it. I say, "You know me. I am a son of God. Now there seems to be a problem with you thinking you're going to run out of food over here. But that's not how it's going to go. Let me tell you how it's going to go. We're going to have enough." And the good thing about pots is they don't talk back to you. I figure the day the pots start talking back, I'll be close to Jesus. So I talk to the sauce pot, I talk to the beans, and I talk to the rice. We all came to an agreement. "I have a plan and you're going to do it." So I went back up to the shelf. I said, "You have anything else?" He said, "No, that's fine. Thank you." So I went back to my tree. Takes a long time to feed hundreds of people. So I'm waiting. Here comes the little hat again. I said, "What's wrong now?" He said, "Come." Golly, this guy, man. I walk over there and I look in those pots and it's full of food. Dude, the pots obeyed. I saw these people eating. These pots obeyed me. "Now, what else you want?" He said, "How do you turn it off?" Awesome. Man, I love that. Those pots are more obedient than any Christian I know. That's easy. They obey you, so it's easy. Okay. Y'all all happy and everything now. So let's do some fire stuff. Okay. Even though, when we finally got everybody fed and got in the tent, and the place is packed out, there were lots and lots of AIDS people in there. And that's the ones that were drawn to me. And I'm grateful because just as the pots obey, so does AIDS obey. I'll tell you, there was 30 or 40 AIDS people healed in that tent that evening. It was nice. So let's go to Luke chapter 3. This was here on your dirt. You hear me? Shakalababa. And I got to see something else on your dirt. I want to tell you about this. Because I've never been to the Transkei. I didn't know what that was. I had no idea what it was. I didn't. I apologize to y'all. I did study you. But for some reason, the American books don't have anything about no Transkei in it. So, we went there the other day. And one of the miracles, because we had, I don't know, it was 150 some odd people got saved. It was wonderful. Yeah. Miracles were just flowing. I can tell you the whole time I could take it up, but I don't want to. That's something other day. But I do want to tell you about this one fellow we met. Because he was really sick. He's an elder there. He works for the king there in the Transkei part where we were. And he's his liaison. He's his main man. And he comes to service. We don't know any of this. And he's really sick. And one of the team grabs him and says, you know, Jesus will take that sickness away from you right now. And he goes, no, I've been sick like this for years. He said, doesn't matter. Will you let me pray for you? He goes, okay. And we prayed for him. This fella did. He was instantly healed. All right. Now, in my world, that's awesome. Woohoo. Okay. But it doesn't mean the same to me as it did to him. Because he's doing his ancestral worship and he's doing all this witchcraft. All these things are in play. And he comes to us. He says, can I talk to y'all? Yep, you can talk to us. Will you come to my house? We'll come to your house. So we get there. And he didn't want very many things. It was like three things, I believe, that he wanted. And one of them was, this creature's coming and eating my animals. And so y'all don't even believe none of this stuff, so I'm not going to go into any detail about it. But you're wrong. As you are with many other things. He said, will Jesus take care of this creature for me? Oh, absolutely. What else? Well, there's been some manifestations around the house here and there. Well, we're going to pray for your house. You literally lay your hands on the house and the demon cannot cross it anymore. So y'all don't believe this stuff. That's why you don't get miracles. But I do believe. I'm what's called a believer. We laid our hands on the house, on the family. Every one of them, people got healed. But one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life, this conversion of this man, he asked us, can I go excuse my ancestral spirits? And would y'all walk out there with me while I do that? Well, sure. You should have seen this gentleman telling his people how you just absolutely don't work. I met this Jesus. In 5 minutes, I'm healed. And you've been taking, I've been giving you goats and cows and sheep. You're making me poor. And this Jesus wants to bless our land. He wants to bless my flocks. He don't want to eat my stuff. You should have heard him talking. It was to me miraculous to watch him. And he turned around and he said, "Okay, I'm done with him. I'm going with you." I said, "You are welcome to walk with me." I told him, "That's the best decision you ever made, Jack. Because I'm not going." I told him. I didn't threaten him. But I told a little. But I told him, we have this pebble called the gospel. And when you throw it off the cliff, it's going to cause this massive mountain moving landslide. If you are not going to fulfill the gospel, I'm not throwing the pebble. Do you understand the difference? I don't care about the numbers. Numbers are easy for me. You see where I've got with this? We must help those people. Regardless of past history or doesn't matter, none of that stuff matters. What matters is healing and health and life and peace, and that in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there are miracles afoot all around you. You should step into the water because she's trembling, buddy. That great Holy Ghost of God is moving on this planet, right amongst you. In the name of Jesus. Shatha ba ba ba. All right, Luke chapter 3. Let me go on and act like I'm preaching or something. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Because I'm going to help with that Transkei. I like that place. When we went across that river, and all of a sudden I started seeing all these villages, because it looks like where I'm from. There's villages everywhere. I said to him, "What do you see?" He said, "I see a bunch of villages." I said, "That's not what I see. I see a kingdom. I see a massive empire." I said, "I can do this." You understand? We've got this. And we can do this. You just need the fire of the Holy Ghost. And all you need to do is drop a little bit of fear and pick up the fire. And the gospel will transform your nation right in front of your eyes. In the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 3. I don't want to do much of this, but I want after a particular thing. Soldiers, you know, what do we do? And don't scare the people with your brutality. And the tax collectors and all those people. And what do we do? Just be content. So I need you to lose the fretting and become content. Can you tell I'm content? See, I am in the most jittery parts of the world. I right now go to 15 war zones. And it's scary. I mean, my flesh crawls. I can't sleep. I mean, fear is all over me. I was just in the Middle East a couple of days ago. And it was scary over there. Because as soon as they get off, there's a fellow with a paint bucket. And when they see Americans, they just paint a target on them. That's a joke. But it's not really. Now, I loved it. Listen to me. I got thrown out of one of the nations over there. You understand how awesome this is to get thrown out? Instead of shot. And then I went to the kingdom of Bahrain. Boy, you want to know an awesome place. And I get in there and I'm preaching the gospel. And these people come from Yemen and Saudi and around a few places. And the lady walks up to me and she looks at me. She said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, Jesus? She said, look at you. Look at your hair. Look at you. Look at your beard. You look just like one of them. I said, thank you. Whatever it is that irks you in your religious Christianity that makes you say that to me makes me happy. But you look like them. Yes. Duh. It's the idea. Because they'll talk to me. I'm telling you, I was sitting at this restaurant and this fellow walks over, very dignified, very educated, Sunni fella. He sits down. He looks at me. And who are you? I said, that's the right question. I said, I'm a child of a king. He snapped his fingers. They started bringing me stuff. He said, what king? I said, his name is Jesus. Oh! More stuff's coming. And I asked him, what's all this? He said, don't ask, just eat it. I never eat those flavors in my life. I don't know what it was. I don't even know to tell you if it's good or bad. Because it doesn't matter whenever you're in there for the king. You understand? I said, you understand? You should have seen the power of the gospel hitting those people. Not one bullet was fired. But they came to Jesus by the fistfuls. You understand me? We got this. Do you understand we got this? And I'm carrying around a blue passport and we still got this. Ah. Hear me. All these fears and all this dread. Lose it. Pick the fire up. Tend the fire. Worry with the fire. Don't worry with fear. Worry with the fire. Please the king. Tend the fire. Alright. You see how much fun I'm having, right? You can see it, right? Alright, look at verse 15. Now this is famous verse. I always pick famous verses because I leave that to y'all's Greek theologians to find these obscure Chaldean words that mean something else. I don't like that stuff. I like the famous stuff. Because I can take any of these verses and raise the dead with them. You hear me? Look what it says. As the people were in suspense. Say it. Suspense. I want it. Say it. I want suspense.
I want suspense.
I want to be hungry.
I want to be thirsty.
I want to live in a suspenseful attitude. Say it.
I want to
tend this fire because the king's coming.
I want to be in expectancy.
I want to live with joy. It says everybody was reasoning, questioning in their hearts whether John was the anointed Messiah. And John said to him, I'm baptizing you with water. But he who is mightier, say mighty one,
mighty one.
We invite you here.
Greater than I.
Come to us.
In Jesus' name.
He's coming. Says it right in my thing. It says it right there. He who is mightier than I is coming. Somebody blow on the fire. Get it going. He's coming. We need to be in suspense. We need to be expectant for the touch of heaven. Do you hear me? Don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. The strap of whose sandals I'm not fit to unfasten. Say, thank you, Jesus. That you are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you, Jesus, for suspense coming on us, for expectancy rising in us, for hunger and thirst for righteousness to be created in our spirits. In the name of Jesus. Now, we got all that important stuff out of the way. Now let's look at the really important stuff. He, that's the mighty one. That's the one we're in suspense waiting on. That's the one we're expecting. Blowing the fire. He will baptize you. Say, I want to be baptized.
I want to be baptized.
Say it again.
I want to be baptized.
Say it again.
I want to be baptized.
I want to be baptized, Jesus.
I want to be baptized.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come.
Baptize us, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
With the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
And with fire.
And with fire.
Now, I must warn you, you should leave. People always tell me, you know, that you need to encourage people to stay so that the Spirit can touch them. Praise the Lord. No, that is not what's going to happen. You're going to get slammed. Yeah. So, I'm serious. Oh my God. There ain't no telling what he's going to do to you. Because I know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to get slaughtered. I want to be toted out of here and thrown in the bed like a sack of taters. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the fire. I invite you, great one. I invite you, mighty one. Come to us. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost. And with the fire. In the name of Jesus. Shuka taba. Now let me tell you a story so I can calm you down just a little. You're about to run up here and hit me or something. I can tell. To me, you haven't been to church if the preacher can't talk you out of your chair. I'm serious. We went. God spoke to us. We did this 21-day fast, me and all these elders. We don't ask God to tell us yes. He already told us to go. So I don't agree with you in all this. Well, the Lord hasn't spoken. Praise the Lord. Pass me another mocha latte, mocha mocha mochaccino. Praise God, brother. I'm waiting on God. Hallelujah. Nope, that's not what's happening. You're wasting your time. He has already told us to go ye therefore and make disciples. So you are free to go make disciples. Ta ta ta. All right. So we prayed. Our answer, we're looking for a no, wait a minute, or something like that. Because timing isn't a valuable thing, but it's not the valuable. The valuable is Jesus. And so we did this big fast, and so we go, you know. Nobody got a no, so we all load up. We got this forced. We're shock troops. We're the guys they sent in and soften the surrounding area. And we go in, and I mean, hell whipped the fire out of us. We were just... So we went back, whipped, and we went and sat down again. Excuse us, heaven, excuse us. Somebody whipped us. Now we need a little help over here. No answer. So we went back. We got whipped. 1 year. No converts. We are some of the best. 2 years. 3 years. 4 years. 5 years. You understand the man hours I'm putting into this? The diesel, the vehicles, because you roll out there. You roll out there. You do what we do. You canvass these villages. You come back. All your tires are slashed on your vehicles. That gets old. The windows are knocked out of your trucks. They put sand or sugar in the tanks, and you crank the thing. It slings the engine. This stuff gets old, y'all. But they're trying to discourage us. And I'm not of the discouraging side of things. I am the frustratingly joyful side of things. But it gets old after about 10 years. But then finally, a crack. And then all of a sudden, everything's still the same. And the whole place falls. Now we got villages everywhere full of all of it. Churches, wow, thousands of converts. Boy, she was a fight. Hell wanted that real estate. God wanted it stronger. Now, I must report to you something that happened that's quite useful to you. A couple of months ago, I was there. We were having this campaign. We call them campañas. Y'all probably call it a conference. I don't know really. We call them campañas, where we all get together and we just worship. Da, 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 da. And there was lots of us. There's way over 1,000 of us. And we're just worshiping Jesus. That's all we do. We don't do 3 or 4 songs and quit. We do hours. We just worship. You line up your bands. Usually, I keep them stacked there 4 deep. Because some of them's going to get up there and all of a sudden the Spirit of God's coming. He's going to knock them out first. You just drag them off by the foot. Chunk them down on the ground and say, next! Get up there! And I just stand there and worship hour after hour with these people. And then they tell me this story. They said, look, Brother David, because the fire comes, oh, you ought to see it roll through there and knock everybody down. It's awesome. And they tell me, Brother David, there's been a great miracle. I said, I'm into that. I said, you remember all the years of suffering and persecution and all the money you put into all this and nothing happened? Yeah, yeah. Well, the guy that was paying for all of the demonic resistance, he got sick. I said, oh, yes. See, I know in y'all's world I'm not supposed to respond like that. But I tell you, you hide it and do it. But I'll stand up here and look you right in the face. A human is going to say yes. Oh, yeah. You get punished the way we got punished, you're going to be pleased whenever they're getting punished. Then he got the second incurable disease. And then he died. Woo! Thank you, God. See, y'all don't like those kind of words. Well, just chill out a minute. Because whenever he got the second incurable, the witch doctor said, we're finished. We can't handle this. This is beyond us. So they took him to a hospital that is 4 to 5 hours in vehicle from his village. As soon as he got there, the trip killed him. As soon as he got there, he died. I couldn't resist. I cheered. And I know I'm supposed to be over it and have love for my enemies, and I don't know why I cheered. It was just awesome to me when I heard he died. And I know y'all probably wouldn't have. But me, I'm truthful. All right. The dude's dead. This is going to bless you. Listen, I apologize to you about what I'm fixing to say to you. This is not my fault. I absolutely would have let him put him in the ground. But it wasn't me. Heaven acts like he's in charge. He overrides you every now and then. This man is in the morgue in the refrigerator. They froze this old fella. I'm sorry to you about that. But for some reason, you modern people think you should freeze dead people. I don't know what's wrong with you. Where I live, we don't freeze dead people. We bury them. So it took them about... Now, you're doing the math, right? He's been dead 5 hours. And then they brought the paperwork to transport the froze popsicle fella. So now, it's because he's a popsicle, it took them 8 hours to get him home. So we're looking at now about 13 or 14 hours he's been dead. In our world, they take the clothes off of people, wash them, put new clothes on them, and then they let the townspeople see them, and then they stick him in a hole in the ground in a wood box. They got the box sitting there. Now, the old man's home now. It's been like 14 hours. That's when our old man, the dead enemy, his enemy, our pastor, he heard about it. It's not from no internet. Word just goes through the jungle. Just he heard, your enemy's dead. He looked at a couple of his pastors. He says, come with me. Now, this guy is old. Now, I don't know what you know about old people. But this is how they walk. They're moving a lot, but they're not going anywhere. So what would normally take him about 2 hours or 3 hours done turned into 5 hours. So these bad guys, these enemies of ours, have done their ritualistic stuff. Our old man comes rolling in. enemy. And when he gets there, everybody hates him. There's no Christians there. Pure idolatry. Witchcraft. Do you understand? So your theologies don't work. We must clear the air rays, brother. Praise the Lord. Yeah, how are you going to do that? You got 3,000-year-old spirits sitting there just flipping you off. How are you going to clear an airway with big demons standing there? Forget trying to clear the airway. Do what you're supposed to do. Lay your hands on the dead. Let God clear the airway. Now, so, Lily, you got to understand. I'm so sorry to you. They got the hole dug out there. The box is there. The old man's in there, and they're nailing the lid on. Our old man gets there. He's 90. He's right at 90. He finally got there, and he just walks over and looks at the box. Now, old people don't talk very much, but just by him looking at it, the enemy knows he wants the lid off. And he just sits there and touches it, looking at him. They pull in the nails. Now, do you understand how close we are to putting this boy under the dirt? 20-something hours, he's dead. An hour old man. You know how I know this is true? Because I had both of them up there at this conference. It was a hoot. You ought to have seen them guys talking about this. Because our enemy, he is his Ancient of Days fella. And the pastor, he's his twin Ancient of Days. And they're just about to blow over because of the wind. They're so old. And they're just having the best time talking about being raised from the dead. And now what? And I apologize to y'all. I'm so sorry to you. I try to teach these people the right way to do stuff. They just don't listen to me. So they get the lid open, and there's the old codger laying there dead. Our old codger walks over and looks at him, reaches over and touches him on the chest. Get up. Now that don't sound like the name of Jesus to me. But he done walked for hours. He done run out of breath. And I'm sure he forgot what to say. So the old enemy sits up in the coffin. Shoot. Serious. Do you hear me? This is wonderful. I love every inch of this. Because they all broke all the rules. But it worked anyway. And then, look, the enemy old codger looks at, and he's got his hand still like they had him in the coffin. Looks at him. Looked at our guy. Oh, you did this, huh? He goes, no, it was Jesus. So he helps him out of the box. All right, now these two old guys have been enemies. We have been fighting this thing 27 years. The old enemy conjure fella gets out of the box. I'm talking about a coffin. Steps out of the coffin. Gets down on his knees. looks at our guy in the face and says, how do I get this Jesus? Listen to me. You that I see that don't believe, thank you for coming. You're my favorite ones. You're my enemy. You're what's called a loser. Unbelief is a loser. But you believers, like me, say it. I believe.
I
am a son of God. I am God's favorite. And I know he's coming. And he's got fire. He's got the Holy Ghost. And I want some of it. In Jesus' name. I just couldn't. I just stood there in front of all those people. And I was just looking at those two old men. And they were just, you know, it looked like a sloth. You know, they're gonna slap their leg. The hand goes. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going. Okay, let's do something else. Holy Ghost and fire is coming. Okay? Is that clear? All right, let's... Hold on, I'm looking for something. I thought the angels took it out. Here it is, I found it. You might as well rejoice with me. Holy Ghost. What's my? Psalms 104. Thank you, Corbin. Verse 1. Y'all hear me how awesome this is? Yeah. On my phone, I got one of those WhatsApp things a couple of days ago. And I was looking at it. And I'm probably going to get the camera guy to hit it tomorrow. I'll set my phone up here and we'll hit it, put it up on that thing. Our latest dead raising, they sent me a picture of it. Just happened like 5 days ago. Yeah, it's nice. We'll talk about that some other time. I want to do something else right now. There's just too many miracles. We got to do some Bible. Psalms 104. Psalms 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord. So here's how it's going to go. Just lift your hands up and just bless the Lord the way you know how. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, my soul, oh, Lord, my God, you are very great. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Wisdom, power, and our God is an awesome God. Okay, wait, we can't let it go yet. Hang on, sit down. It's fixing to go, I can feel it, I know you can too. It is so But look, I do this every day, so I need to get a certain amount, a quota of verses in over here. This afternoon, I got in 140 chapters, so I'm pretty piped up over here. I'll just sit and listen to the Word of God for several hours, just speaking in tongues. So, you are very great. Say it. You are clothed with honor and majesty. God, we honor you. We give you glory. You're a great God. Thank you. Thank you, Holy One. Shula kata baba. You are the one. Say it. You cover yourself with light. You stretch out the heavens like a curtain or a tent. You lay the beams of the upper rooms of his abode in the waters. You make the clouds your chariots. You walk on the wings of the wind. Now I want verse 4. This is the one I'm after. I want you to look at this. He makes winds his messengers. And I want you to look at that last phrase. Flames of fire. Look at me. You understand I'm on fire, right? I can go anywhere and do this. I've been in the Catholic Church, Episcopalian, the Methodist, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the Baptist, the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, all of them. And I just sit there and I just laugh at the people. I just laugh. Because I'm exhaustingly joyful. It just exhausts religion to be around me because of God's goodness. I am a son of the living God. I am a favorite son. Shukota, I work for the son. Shukata tane shatana. And it's a pleasure to traipse around the planet doing this stuff. Look, just a few days ago, I was up in the Himalayas with the Nepalese people. And I'm there, right? And it's thousands of them. And I'm just happy. And they're getting exhausted with my joy. But they brought this kid. Now you got to understand my world. I look around for what seems treacherous to humans. I look around for what seems impossible for humans. And that's what I draw my attention to. Now this kid's twisted up. He can't talk. He can't hear. He's a mess. He's a problem. I don't know why. I don't know who. I don't know what. And I don't give a flying flip. I just tell him, bring him to me. And he's a big old boy. I don't know, somewhere in his high teens. He's a big old fella. And I reach and get him. And I'm strong for my age. So I'm traipsing around with this broken piece of human flesh. You know, but after a while he gets tired, so I drop it. Ba-doom. Next thing you know, the Holy Ghost smashes the place. I didn't never see it. I was smashed. The Holy Ghost hit me. And he went through the place. And I missed it when the little boy jumped and ran. Do you understand what I just said to you? That long trip to get to the Himalayas. And then that trek up into the Himalayas. There's lots of tea there for y'all that drink tea. There's no end to it. It's like, I don't know how many thousands of kilometers, but it's beautiful. So you know what I'm getting to do next time? This is March of 18. See, your schedule don't run out like that. Mine does. March of 18, I'm getting to go and hike in the great Himalayas. We're going to hike through Nepal, Tibet, going church to church, healing the sick and raising the dead. Do you see how awesome my life is? Isn't that something? Tashakani. And they don't understand how I'm getting older. Their brother brought me to the biggest mountains in the world now. And I accept it. We're going to go out there for 2 weeks and just, I'm going to send my team, the ones in Mexico, I'm bringing them. Because all of them raised the dead because I taught them, because they're good boys. We're going to spread out all over the mountains and we're going to heal the sick and raise the dead. And then we're going to have a 4-day conference. It's going to be tens of thousands. You'll hear about it. I'm sure of it. Because the fire will be bright enough to see from here. Flames of fire. Say, that's me. Flames of fire.
That's me.
In Jesus' name. The cross, New Testament verse, Hebrews 1, verse 7. Y'all there? I am. This thing's fast. Referring to the angel, he, God, says, who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants, what are they? Flames of fire. Do you want that? I really wish I could just keep going and going and tell you all these dead raises. We've had a lot of them lately. Lots. And they see Jesus and they talk to Jesus. Even our enemies are seeing Jesus. Somehow or another, we hit a string that God likes. And now for the last 32 years, we've been raising the dead. Listen to me. I'm going to make a bold statement to you. Ready? There's not a disease left that we haven't seen healed. What? It's true. Holy Ghost. It's an awesome feeling to be able to stand up here in front of you in truth and smile at you knowing how victorious you are. Because hell has lied to you. Some of you are crushed by the hand of hell. It's not God doing that. That's a demon. That's a lie from hell. I release you in Jesus' name. Jesus loves you. In the name of Jesus. Will you please stand up? Boy, I want to keep talking. Oh, but let's do some fire. It's okay to do fire? Listen, you know what I like to do? In our work in Mexico, we don't do fire tunnels. I'm sorry to you. They've never done one. They've never heard a message on prosperity. Ever. You don't have to do this stuff. I'll stand in the front with a couple of hundred elders. There'll be 7,000 or 8,000 people. All we do is lift our hands and ask for the fire of God. And it rolls in and knocks people down by the thousands. I'm almost always one of the first. Because I like the fire. I like the Holy Ghost.